5, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for all that it teaches us, Lord, of life and to guide us and strengthen us through each day. We just pray, Lord, that we would learn of your word this day. Help us to understand and apply it, that we may honor you in the way that we walk. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And for the believer, there is, as we've looked at over the last several weeks, a way in which we should walk. And it is not the way of this world. It is not our own way. It is God's way that we are to follow after. That it's, we don't just do our own thing and live our own life. We realize God has a path for us as believers that he wants us to follow. He has a way in which we should be living, a way in which we should be conducting ourselves, so that people, when they see how we live, they see the way in which we walk, people can identify us as being followers of Christ, as being believers in God. That there's no question about it, because we walk differently. That there's something about us that they see that is different from the way everyone else goes. And so we understand that, and we realize too from the scriptures that God wants to teach us of his ways. It isn't something where he's making it difficult for us to figure out. He actually makes it very plain in his scripture. He wants to teach us his ways through his word so that we would walk in his paths. And so we have been looking at various aspects of this thought of the way in which we should walk in various portions of the scripture. And we've seen many of those already. We've considered of how we as Christians are to walk by faith rather than by sight. That we don't focus on the things that are material and temporal, but rather on the things that are spiritual and eternal. We are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It's not us indulging the flesh. It's not us just trying to hold the flesh back. It's instead learning to crucify the flesh and walk instead in the Spirit in a different way, and by his guidance and by his power. We've looked at the ideas of walking in love, walking in light, walking worthy of our calling, that we do understand that there is a calling on our lives as believers, and it is a high and holy calling. We want to walk worthy of that. But we see another thought today that we want to focus in on, and that's what we see here in Ephesians chapter 5, and specifically verse 14, where it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And so we think of this, and we want to understand what does circumspectly mean, and it is not something that we generally see used very often in our vocabulary anymore. But it's something I think we can look at, and we can, if we do kind of the, we learned in school kind of etymology and recognizing how word origins and how words come together, that we see, we recognize in circumspectly some basics of other words that we know. We think of circumference, for instance. That circumference is basically if you go all the way around a circle, and that measurement is called a circumference. And so we realize there has something to do with a circle. And so we understand walking circumspectly, it's the ideas where we're looking all around. That before we take a step, we look at things. We take a consideration of what's what's going on around us, what are the consequences of the actions that we take and the steps that we make, that we're not walking blindly or carelessly. Instead, we're being very careful and we're being very deliberate in the steps that we take in life. And so that's the idea of walking circumspectly. We can think of it in a couple different ways. For instance, if you were going to climb up a mountain and you wanted to reach the summit, and it'd be something as you're climbing up that mountain, it may not, there are going to be spots that are steeper than others and things, but as you're climbing, you're not going to just carelessly, nonchalantly just wander around not looking where you're going. Because if you were to do that, you could end up falling off a ledge and into a deep chasm, and no one might ever be able to find your body again. That especially in different places, and you can see that with people that are rock climbers, that they really have to, if they're going up a rock face, they really have to decide, where am I going to step? And not only, they can't just think a few steps ahead, they've got to kind of look up and see several steps ahead, because they don't want to climb up to a certain place and then find that there's no handholds or footholds, and that then they'll have to try to descend and go some other way. That there's a great deal of care that's given in climbing up for one's own safety and to ensure one isn't wasting time and having to backtrack. And so we think of that for someone that is going to successfully and safely climb up a mountain, they have to walk circumspectly. And we realize in many ways, as us as believers, that's kind of what our Christian walk is. We are climbing. We are seeking that higher ground. We're always seeking to go beyond where we were before and advance in our Christian walk. And so in the same way, we have to be careful. And we realize that there are many pitfalls that we can fall into in life of different temptations and snares of the devil, different winds of doctrine that we can be deceived by, that there has to be great care taken. And so there has to be a care and a deliberate walking as well. Another idea, way of thinking of it, is if you had to cross a barnyard from one side to the other, that there's a lot of different things in the barnyard that you don't want to be stepping into. And so you're not just going to wander through without looking, that you might end up losing a boot or much more in the muck if you don't take care, that you look, okay, where is a bit safer path, which is a bit of a drier path, which kind of avoids all this other stuff that I don't want to get into. You take care and you're very careful and you walk circumspectly. And in the same way, we realize that much of this world we can look at as being like a barnyard. There's a lot of filth for us as Christians to avoid, that we don't want to get stuck into these things. And so we have to be careful in how we walk. And it's something that you'll see in many different places in this world. I know, especially on the combines that we've been working on, in the tractors and things, you'll see this sign on them in many different places: watch your step. Because there's places where if you're not careful, you can slip and fall and you can hurt yourself quite a bit. And it's something, as a Christian, when we think of this idea of circumspectly, walking circumspectly, we can think of that warning sign, watch your step. That's what we as Christians need to do, is watch where we're stepping. Be considering and thinking about the steps that we take in life, what we get involved in, what we become a participant of, that we have to be very careful. And we realize there's several different reasons for that. One, for our own sake, we realize that there's there's many dangers out there, that the devil is very good at deceiving and ensnaring people, and we're told to be sober and vigilant, that we're living life expecting that he's going to try to cause pitfalls and snares to be put in our way so that we can fall away from the Lord, that we can get discouraged in our walk with him. And so we have to be paying attention, that we don't want to become a victim of one of the devil's snares. But secondly, we realize that, and especially as believers, that we don't live in kind of isolation, that our lives always affect other people, that we can't just do whatever we want without any thought, because there's consequences, and people are going to be affected by that. That if we do something that's wrong, it's going to hurt us, but it's going to hurt those around us. And especially if we're a parent, or we are in a position of kind of being an example to others, if we stumble and fall, then we can be a great stumbling block to someone else, that they can get discouraged in their walk, that they were looking to us to kind of help guide them, and if we're doing wrong, then that's a serious harm to them in their witness. And we think, too, of people that we're trying to witness to. If we're trying to be a testimony in the hopes that one day they'll recognize their need of a Savior and they'll want to come and trust in Him as Savior. We don't want to have these missteps, which are a poor testimony, which would cause this person to say, well, why would I want what you have where you're not living in according to what you say you believe? That we realize that would be a very serious thing, a very sad thing if that were to happen. And so we want to make sure that we're walking circumspectly. Because we realize, and we can think of that in the way of the world today, that many people live lives that are almost totally self-absorbed, where they can be oblivious to everything and everyone going on around them. They don't recognize the things that they do that hurt others, and things that are just for their own harm. But yet they just have a mindset, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care about the consequences or who it's going to affect. And as Christians, we can't live like that. That we have a responsibility to live for the Lord, to live for others. And we recognize to live a life like that. That is talking about that we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. To walk circumspectly is to walk in wisdom. To be being careful in our walk and where we step, that is being a wise person. Being careless and not thinking about what we're doing, that would be the way of someone that is foolish. And we see different principles given in the Psalms concerning the wise and the foolish, and it's something that can make great application to us. We see in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And we can think of that someone that's wise is going, okay, I see something's coming up down the road, I best avoid that. But the one that's foolish just basically barrels right into it without thinking and gets into all kinds of trouble. It's sort of, you could think of it in terms of traffic, that someone might see, oh, there seems to be an accident up ahead, I'm going to take a detour now to get around it, where someone that's not paying attention ends up driving and then finding, oh, why am I stuck in traffic for several hours? I could have avoided this if I'd just been kind of thinking ahead. And so we realize that we have to be thinking of these things. We have to be aware of evil that can come and of difficulties. It says in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. that sometimes what we do, we lean on our own understanding. We think this will be a good thing, or this is what I want to do, and it's actually kind of a sad thing that sometimes you have a sentiment that's given nowadays, even at graduations, where kids are told, "Well, just follow your heart." And we find from the scriptures, if we follow our heart, it's going to lead us wrong. If we trust in it, we're foolish. Instead, we follow the scriptures. We realize that God gives us a path. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. And you need to stay on the right path. And so we recognize that we're aware of the path God has for us, and we seek to follow it. We think of Psalm 119, verse 105, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." That's what we look at, is that if I don't know which way to go, I go to God's word. I find some principles that I can apply in my certain situation that I'm in. And then I can step according to how God's word guides me. That's what we want to learn, how to live our lives guided by the word. That we don't just lean on our own understanding. We say, "Lord, I need wisdom in this situation so that I can walk in a way that's safely." It says in Psalm 37 and verse 31, speaking of the righteous, it says, "The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide." And you think of that it's kind of the picture is that in this world we're trying to walk, and there's a lot of slippery places that we can get caught into, but if God's word is in our heart, then we step firmly, that we avoid these slippery places, and we stay on the path God would have for us. We see in Proverbs chapter 4, where it gives a principle. Verse 19, it says, "The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble." People that don't follow the Lord, don't have a relationship with him, aren't into God's word, they're going to walk in darkness and stumble. But we see verse 18, the verse before, "The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." That the more we're in God's word, the more deep our relationship is with him, the clearer our path becomes. It isn't something where we are confused and not sure of what steps to take, what decisions to make. That he helps us to see the path very clearly in which we should go. And so in God's word, he gives us warnings, he gives us wisdom. And if we heed his warnings, it saves us from so much trouble in life. Yes, God can help us fix our lives after we've fallen into a trap, fallen into miry clay, and he can clean us up and everything else. But, of course, it's so much better if we avoid those dangers ahead of time, that we aware of that. And not only do we save ourselves from a lot of trouble, as we're following God, following his word, walking circumspectly, there's much good that we can accomplish. That we say, "Okay, I'm going to take this step, I'm going to go in this direction, and it's going to be away from this that's displeasing to God, that would be destructive to myself, harmful to others. I'm going to walk this way, and God can help me to be a blessing to other people." And so it's making those choices and deciding which way am I going to walk in life, what choice am I going to take. I have... very much there's kind of the way of this world where everyone's following that direction, and a lot of times it's us choosing a different path that is not as well worn, but it is the path to blessing. But in this whole thought of walking circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, we see in the next verse that God gives a very practical way in which we can apply this truth of walking circumspectly. It says, verse 16, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." And we actually see this same thought repeated in Colossians 4 and verse 5, where he says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." That it's Walking circumspectly, walking in wisdom, is connected with this thought of redeeming the time. And what does that mean? How do we understand that phrase? Well, we understand, first of all, that time is the most precious commodity that we have. That it isn't something where it can be renewed. That we only have 60 minutes in an hour, we only have 24 hours in a day, and we only have a life that is only so long. And once our time is gone each day, we can't ever get that time back. That there's no way of doing that. No one has developed a time travel machine where we can go back in time and fix all our mistakes or do things differently than we did before. That we only get one chance on how to spend the time that we're given each day. And of course we don't know how much time we're given. That our lives are like a vapor. We may live 3 score years and 10 or 4 score, we don't know that. That sometimes our lives can be cut shorter a lot quicker than we would think. And of course the Lord Jesus may come again any day as well. And so we don't know how much time we have, but because of that we realize we need to make the most of the time that we're given. That, and really there's an urgency to do so, because it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we think of it in this way: the devil is very hard at work deceiving and enslaving people, of putting forth his lies that are leading people astray, of bringing people into the bondage of sin and destroying them through their sins. And he is working overtime. And we, as God's people, he wants us to be doing what we can to stem the tide, to stand up for what's right, to speak out against what's wrong and what's deceitful, and to fight against the evil in this world so that people can come to know the truth. And so we want to realize that we don't have any time to waste. All the time that we waste, the devil is using to his full advantage. And we want to realize that, okay, we need to make the best use of our time. The problem is, of course, is we find that there's so many things in life that have a way of stealing time away from us. And they may not necessarily be bad things, but they can just be everyday things we need to have a certain amount of sleep in order to function. And a lot of times they say 8 hours of sleep is what's healthy. And you look at that and you think, well, that's a third of the time that I have in the whole day that's just gone just by sleeping. And then we have to have time for eating. We have to have time for driving to work or whatever it might be. It just seems there's different things that just take more and more chunks out of our time that we have. And we find that it can be a struggle sometimes for us just to find time for, just to have any time to read our Bible, to pray, to actually spend time with the Lord, and then to actually be able to seek to minister to others. During our day, there's so much that seems to take away from that. And so, and of course, we realize those are the things that aren't just the everyday things that take away, but we realize with ourselves, our flesh always has that desire towards slothfulness, a desire towards procrastination. And if we allow our flesh to, it can find all manner of ways in which to waste our time, pursuing after things that are of no real value, that we think nowadays of just, and we don't even realize it sometimes, is say if we go to check on something on the internet and we think it'll only take us a few minutes, and then once we get off we find an hour has passed and we can't get that hour back. Or we'll be doing something and something won't go right, or we get distracted and there was something we really wanted to do, but we got distracted doing something else, and then we come back and there's not time for what we really wanted or needed to do that day. And so we realize that we have to be very careful with our time. We have to be deliberate in how we use our time and think, okay, is this of value? Is this a good thing to do? And slothfulness and idleness, if that's something that we don't want to have in our life, and we want to learn to eliminate from our life, because really it's like we're taking the time. It would be like pouring money down a hole and never seeing it again. That our time is very precious, and more precious than money, and we don't want to waste it. And Satan, he's busy working, and he's often busy working trying to get us to just kind of take it easy and not be focused at all on what God would have us to do. And so we have to learn to walk circumspectly and say, okay, I only have so much time today. I have to make it count. Not just for the day, but for eternity. And so, Lord, give me wisdom in how to spend my day today. And so, as we do that we think, we set priorities. What needs to be done? What is most important? What do I have to do? And as we do that, we start having to see, okay, there's things that I might want to do, but there's things that I need to do, and there's things that I need to make priority. We think, if I'm going to grow in the Lord, I need to make time to spend with Him so that He can transform me through my relationship with Him. And so, how can I find time? What can I let go of? Maybe there's something that I can do this for a little bit less of a time today, so then I can have more time for the Lord. that we're willing to make sacrifices, that we say, okay, this is something I enjoy, but yet I need to be in God's Word. I need to be spending time with Him. And where we think that, okay, God wants me to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to other people. If I'm going to do that, I need to make time to do that. Find an opportunity to do that. And even during different things in life that we have to do, whether it's work, there's ways even in that where we can be redeeming the time, where we can be finding ways to make that count for eternity. That whatever we do it as unto the Lord, to honor Him, to bring glory to His name. That while we work, we can learn to be praying. God calls us to pray without ceasing, and that's the thing. If we can actually learn to have prayer be a part of our whole day, even though we're doing all these other things, that we're redeeming the time, we're making it count, we're making a difference through our prayers. We're drawing close to the Lord, we're holding up other people in prayer, and God can use that and bless that. And so we want to find ways to do that, to redeem the time. And each day that we're given, we really look at it as a blessing from God. That every morning that we say, Lord, this is a gift that I'm not promised tomorrow, but You've given me today. And Lord, I don't want to take this gift that You've given me and just make no use of it for You. I want to find a way to make this day count for You as much as possible. And so thinking, what can I do? Where can I go? How can I spend my time? What can I cut out of my life that's robbing me of value to the day that I have before me? That we learn to do that each day, that it becomes a practice in our mindset, that we say, Lord, what would You have me to do today? How can I spend this day? How can I redeem the time You've given me in this evil day and age to make a difference for eternity? And as we seek His wisdom, He is going to help us. But then we see verse 17, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And in this, I want to think about something, or get you to think about something rather. I remember when I first started learning how to work, And you maybe had this experience, or maybe if you've had young people that have worked under you, you've seen this as well. But a lot of times when you start working and you don't really know how to work, you basically think, well, okay, well, I come to work, somebody gives me instructions about what to do, and then I do that, and then if nobody's given me any further instructions, then I just kind of stand around and do nothing until I get further instructions. And in our mind, when we start, well, we think, well, I don't know what to do, and so someone has to tell me what to do. And I know with us growing up working with Dad, that if he saw us sitting there not doing anything, it would be like, find something to do. Look busy, even if you aren't. And the thought was there was always lots to do, and we didn't necessarily have to have someone lay it out to us plainly, this is what you have to do now, and now this is your job. That a lot of times we had to start thinking, what do I need to do? What needs to get done? It might be, okay, maybe I need to sweep the floor because there's a lot of sawdust on the floor. Maybe I need to get some tools out for the next job or put away what we're not using. There's always things to do, and you learn that. And as you learn to work properly, and especially as you're seeking to please an employer, you're thinking, okay, I don't need him to stand over me and tell me what to do. I already know what needs to be done, and I'm just going to go do it without being prompted or anything. I'm just going to go and do that. And we want to understand that's what God wants us to be like in the fulfilling of His will. That we want to understand from the Scriptures that it is God's will for us is not some great mystery. That yes, there are specific parts of His will that we need direction for, but overall, we know there's stuff that He wants us to do. We think in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." And the sanctification is the idea of where God is working in us so that we become conformed to Christ's image, so that we gain victory over sin, that we learn to, whether it's abstain from fornication, whether it's to put away anger and wrath and bitterness, these are all things that are part of sanctification. And it's, we know that every day we get up, God wants us to become more like Christ. That's our ultimate goal. And every day we say, okay, what can I do to make myself, to bring myself to a point where I'm more like Christ at the end of the day? And so we say, okay, I need to spend time in God's Word, spend time in prayer. I need to apply what I've read in God's Word to help others, to do what He would do, to walk as He would walk. And so we understand that. But then as well, we understand too from the Scriptures that God, it says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 9 that the reason why God has not come back yet is because He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That He wants people to be saved. We read that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we know if that's God's will, then I need to find a way to help fulfill God's will. That He's given to His churches the Great Commission, where we're to go teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded them. That with the Holy Spirit empowering us, we're to be witnesses for Him in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we know is God's will. He wants everyone on this earth to know about Him so that they can make that decision whether to trust in Him or reject Him. That He wants them to have that opportunity. And so if we realize that, it isn't something where we need to wait for God to give us some kind of direction from heaven. This is what I want you to do specifically. That we realize there's so much for us to do. There's so much in my own life that I need to learn and grow and develop and become more like Christ. That there's enough in that that'll keep me working all through the day, every day. And as well, there's so many people around me that don't know Jesus, that are lost, that are on their way to hell, that are struggling with sin, that are being destroyed by that sin, and are going to be condemned to hell for eternity if they don't come to Christ. And so I know that there's work for me to do. There's something that I can do to help someone and bring them closer to the Lord. And even whether it's being kind to them, having mercy on them, just being a friend to them and showing God's love to them in some way, praying for them. That there's so much for us to do that we should not be unwise and just wondering, well, what does God want to do with my life? That we realize, I know what God wants to do with my life. It's very clear. And yes, He may give me some specifics as I follow Him, but we want to see the big picture. No, this is what God wants me to do. He'll give me pointers if He needs to, but I've already got enough from His Word to try to carry out that I don't really need Him to necessarily give me something just straight from an angel or something like that, that it's already there in front of me. And so we want to have that mindset and have that attitude where whatever God's will, I want to do it, and I want to please Him. I want to see His will done in my life, in the lives of others. It speaks of in Psalm 40, verse 8, that I delight to do Thy will, O God. And speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus, but we realize if we're to be conformed to His image, that's our desire too, that we want to delight to do His will. We want to know what it is. And every morning when we get up, we say, Lord, let me fulfill Your will, that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and it be done in my life. And there's always things that we can be doing, whether it's preparing ourselves, seeking His cleansing, His sanctifying work, so that we're met for His use, prepared on every good work, and then as well seeking to fulfill His will, helping others, being a witness and a testimony for Him by our words, by our actions. That there's so much for us to do, and we realize as believers that we can't just live a life of kind of nonchalance where we just kind of do whatever we feel like and not have any real purpose or focus or direction, where we're just living for the now, living just to kind of have fun and entertain ourselves, that we say, no, there's a path for me to follow. There's work for me to do in this world. And I need to be busy. I need to be thinking about what I'm doing and thinking of how it affects others and the testimony that it leaves. How can I walk more carefully so that God is more greatly honored and people by my walk can be directed to the Lord Jesus? And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would walk circumspectly, we would redeem the time, that we would understand God's will, so that we would be what He would have us to be, and that we would do what He would have us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word and the challenge it is to us. We just pray, Lord, that You would help us to be busy about Your work and be focused on making the most of the time that You give us. Just pray Your blessing upon us as we seek to apply Your word in our lives this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn, number 439.